All right. Today is special for us for a few different reasons. First is this. First is on August 31st, a group of people came and set up at our house. If you want to see pictures of that, it's a pretty cool picture. But people came and set up our house for what we call our very first service in our home on August 13th or 31st of 2013. And we met in our home for a few months, and then the very first Sunday of the new year, we kind of took off and we just relaxed for a little bit before our public launch where we met in this building. And so next week, we'll be celebrating our official 1 year anniversary of our public launch. So praise God for that. Amen. Amen. So God has done some amazing things, and we pray that He will continue to do more and that we'll be faithful in following Him. And man, I'm honored to be with you guys, to pastor here and to serve along with you guys. So, second is this. It's the new year. It's time that we set new goals, right? And for some of us, it's kind of where we refocus or we set a goal that we've set 100 times, right? Amen. We've been there, right? We set these lifelong goals. And this morning and through the next few weeks, we're going to do just that. We're going to take the time to make sure that we're on track. What track are we on? Where are we headed? And how do we get there? By the way, if you need a Bible this morning, we've got some extra in the back. Just slip your hands up and we'll make sure that you get one. We will have the words up on the screen as well. Just something about having the Bible in your hand. So if you need that, just raise your hand up. Today we're going to turn our attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you're not familiar with it, our church has a vision statement. And we need to be familiar with it, okay? So let's talk about that. But if you're not, let's make ourselves familiar with it, come to know it. It reads this: connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living authentically for Him. So we're going to take a fresh look at this statement in pieces over the next few weeks, and our goal is to keep it fresh, to keep it on our minds, to use it to help us keep us on track, right? To help us keep us on track. And a vision statement is this: it's a tool or a resource to do these things, to keep us on track, but it must reflect Scripture and be faithful to the Word of God, or it's not worth following. So connecting people to Jesus, growing together, and living authentically for Him. A passage we refer to often here at Authentic Life is known as the Great Commission. Before we dive into our selected text for the day, I want us to take a quick look at this passage from Matthew. This word commission means that people have been given or have been assigned an official job to complete, and they have been given the permission and power to complete the task. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 reads this: "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I had commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Let's pray this morning. God, we love you and we thank you for being here with us. We thank you, God, that we have the Word of God that we can hold tight to, that we can look to help keep us on track in our lives as individuals and also as the church, as your local body. So God, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with us today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. So I want to ask a question this morning. This question has eternal value. I'm not going to ask you if you're a Christian. Many people will identify themselves as Christians. I'm not going to talk about really how you identify yourself. I'm going to ask you a more direct, specific question. Here's the question: are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Have you come to the point in your life where you have realized that you are a sinner before God, deserving of His eternal judgment, and realizing that God is also loving and merciful and gracious and has sent Jesus, His Son, to bear His judgment for your sin in our place on the cross? And Jesus has risen from the dead in victory over sin and the grave. Have you, church, in your life, turned from your sinful, selfish nature and trusted Jesus as your Savior and as the Lord over your life? Is He Lord over your life in such a way that you belong to Him and you follow Him? So the question is not, are you a Christian? Not as you go to church, but the question is this: are you a follower of Jesus? And I hope and pray that everyone in this room can say yes, but I got to be honest. I'm going to assume that not everybody in here can say yes to that. I hope I'm wrong, right? We want everybody to know Jesus, but there may be some in here, if you're honest, you would say this morning, "Pastor Jeff, know that the truth is, I'm not a follower of Jesus." Well, I don't believe that God's a God of accidents, amen? Man, you're here for a reason today. So if you don't know Jesus, just hear us today and hear His Word and His truth. Know that He loves you and wants to give you eternal life, a better life, right? Salvation. And whatever you're missing in life, He's what you're looking for. I can promise you that. He's what you're looking for. If you answer yes to the question, yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then this Great Commission is for you. Are you guys with me today? That Great Commission, the one we just read out of Matthew, is for you. You were not saved. You were not made new in Christ. You were not brought into the family of God for you to sit back and just enjoy the ride. You were not just here to be bench warmers or to keep things to yourself. No, don't get me wrong. We are to enjoy God and the how He serves us and how He loves us and the family He's brought us into. But we're not just here to keep it to ourselves and just to ride the bench. If this were the case, I would say this, church. God would have raptured us up the minute that we said yes to Jesus. But He's got us here for a reason, for a purpose. He saved you for a purpose. Matthew 4:19 reads this, and He said unto them, talking to Jesus, calling these disciples, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus didn't call His disciples this way. Follow Jesus and do nothing. Or follow Jesus and put a bumper sticker on your car, or your boat in their case, right? Follow Me and just say that you're a Christian. No, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Just that these men would bring fish into their boat and then people, they would take it to people to eat. Jesus is asking these men to come and really like catch people, get people and draw them to Him, bring them to Jesus. And He wanted them to draw people to Him, to His message, to His truth, and His way of life. So as followers of Jesus Christ, if you can say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, we are to fulfill the Great Commission to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. We'll cover the rest of this commission from Christ as we go through this series, but I want to focus on the idea of making disciples. By the way, I do want to say this. We're to make disciples, right? And then we're to baptize them. We have the honor to baptize a young man in our church today, and he's going to profess in front of the church, man, I'm following Jesus, right? So we're gonna do that today. So let's that's awesome, right? Let's clap, man, right? So we're excited about that, and it's one of the pleasures about being a pastor. We get to do that, so I'm excited. But we are a community of disciple makers. Our first desire as a community of disciple makers is to connect people with Jesus. To be fishers of men, to be fishers of people, to bring people to Jesus. And as individuals and as a church body, we want to connect them. We want to connect people to Jesus. But first, just like with these fishermen, we have to get on the boat, right? We got to go out there and we got to cast our nets. Share the gospel. Let God do His work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work, right? We just need to be faithful and obedient to do that. In our text this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul's writing to Christians in Corinth, and they were consumed with themselves, missing the point, missing their purpose. They were missing the point of why they were here. In chapter 8, there were some new believers who were struggling with eating food from the market that was offered up to idols. It's a really cool, actually it's kind of disturbing, really, story of why the food was offered up to idols. It was almost like these food would be possessed with something. They would be offered up to idols, and what was left over they sold in the market. So you'd have Christians that didn't want, new Christians that didn't want to have anything to do with that. They didn't want to have anything to do with consuming that food. And other Christians, more mature in their faith, knew that there was really no issue. And they had the freedom to eat this food, and they were eating this food, and this would cause these new Christians who didn't understand to struggle and stumble in their faith. Paul actually says in the last verse of chapter 8, therefore, after all this he's talked about, if food causes my brother, you know, my fellow Christian to stumble, I will never eat meat again. Man, that's a sacrifice right there, isn't it? So that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Then in chapter 9, Paul goes a little bit deeper. Chapter 8 talks about freedoms we have in Christ and really how these Christians should be willing to set aside these freedoms for the sake of those other believers. In chapter 9, Paul talks about an example of how he does this also for the lost, those that don't know Christ, those that couldn't raise their hand this morning and say, I'm not a follower of Jesus. Let's read this morning, beginning in chapter 9, verse 1. Am I not free? Paul speaking, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do you not have a right to eat or drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have the right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Or who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, and the thresher to thresh in hope of the sharing of the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we do not use this right, but we will endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But I have used none of these. And I am not writing these things so that it will be done so in my case, for it would be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one. Verse 16, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. I just love reading the Bible. Sometimes there's stuff in there you're just like, what? Right? You just want to skip over that, but it's just amazing to just open up and just read the Bible and do that with you guys together. I want us to take away something from this section. It's this: as we live a life where we intentionally share the gospel and we want to connect people to Jesus, here's what I want to challenge you guys this morning. As a church and as individuals, let's be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. Let's be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. They're not pre-printed, but if you guys would write those down on your notes, that would help me know that you, I mean, well, unless you can just remember things. I'm not very good at that, but let's make sure we're doing that. Be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. In these first 18 verses of chapter 9, we see Paul's example. He uses the example of financial support in here. He had a right to financial support from the church at Corinth for what he did. And he lays out five reasons as to why he has this right. And we're going to talk about rights here for a second. First, it was a normal practice. Using the example in verse 7 of the soldier and the planter and the one who tends flock, he is suggesting that it's acceptable practice that if you work hard at something, then you benefit from it in a reasonable way. Let me say this last part, in a reasonable way, okay? Second is a biblical model found in verse 9, where he references Deuteronomy 25:4. His third example is pretty much this you reap what you sow pattern, found in verse 10 through 11. And Paul's fourth and fifth reasons as to why he was right to receive financial support are found in verse 13 and 14. Let's read that again. He writes this: do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So it's Jewish custom. There's your fourth. And the fifth one, it's the Lord's command. He examples the temple rules for those who serve, right? And then says that those who proclaim the gospel, those who by profession, they preach the word of God, should earn a living off of it. Now this is a little awkward, okay? Because it is, okay? This is a perfect opportunity for me to say this to you as a church. Thank you for being faithful with your tithes and your offerings and your giving, because part of that allows me to do what I do. Right? So thank you for that. And I do want to serve with integrity and to work hard. So I'm appreciative of that. But let's, now we got that awkward moment out of there, okay? So Paul was receiving financial support from other churches and from being a tent maker. So he's not completely poor, but he's doing that. But in Corinth and in other places for that matter, there were many times when he surrendered the right to financial support from a church for the sake of the gospel in that city. He's saying that he thought it would have jeopardized his preaching of the gospel there. Maybe there were abuses. Maybe there were people that abused, that idea of bringing in money and using that. Or maybe there were preachers or spiritual leaders that had kind of messed up. Or maybe because potential new Christians in the church would have perceived him as just really doing it for the money. And Paul spends all this time talking about his rights. In fact, seven times he mentioned rights throughout these passages, these texts right here. He mentioned his rights to, and it's to help the Christians, to help the church understand a point. Here's the point. The point is Paul believed that receiving financial support in Corinth would not be good for the gospel in Corinth. So he surrendered his right to financial support, right? That's the point. He has a right to it. We have rights, right? In America, we have rights. Come on, people. I know you want to say amen on this one, right? We have rights. Yeah. And that's the point he's making, that he is surrendering that right for the sake of the gospel. He shares his personal example of how you can have a right to something. But in some circumstances, one can and should yield that right for the sake of the gospel. That's the key, for the sake of the gospel. That's what that's why Paul's surrendering here. Paul isn't surrendering this right just because he wants to, or because somebody else wanted to, or some committee voted that he needed to. He's doing it for the sake of the gospel. He is doing it because it would be good for others to hear and believe the gospel if he surrendered that right. I'm always helped, and I hope you guys are too, when I hear someone say something and then provide a practical way of doing it. I would rather watch a how-to YouTube video than read a manual any day. Anybody else with me? I just want to, yeah, there you go. Just have the manual there and then just show me how to do it, right? And Paul gives an example of something he set aside, a right that he had. It was really something important, a priority in his life, and he willingly laid it aside for the sake of the gospel when it was necessary. So let's be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. Now into verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. He's got this poetic language going on, doesn't he, here? To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I might by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. So verses 1 through 18, we want to be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. And then now, let's also be willing to rearrange our lives for the spread of the gospel. Be willing to rearrange our lives for the spread of the gospel. Paul says in verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all. Some of your translations may say servant. The word here, the word really is doulao, which is the root word of doulos, servant. It's a slave. So the best translation would be slave there. He is saying, I have made myself a slave to all. Why would Paul do this? Right. Track with me here. Here's the reason, the purpose. Why would he do this? Why does he become a slave? I made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. What does that mean exactly, to win more? He goes on in verse 20 and he says, to the Jews, we're going to talk about this, to the Jews I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. He is saying without going against God in Jesus, in the Word of God and going against His Word, Paul is going to try to be socially and culturally a Jew. Right? So that he might what, church? That he might win Jews. Let's try that again. So that he might what, church? Win the Jews. Right? And then go on. So that to those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, he's saying there's people there, I'm not, so that I might win those who are under the law. Those, I feel like I'm talking in circles when I read Paul's writing here. Those that are under the law, Paul puts himself under the law to be with them, to be on that same level. Although he was no longer required to follow that, these people did. So he gave up the freedom of not being under that law so that he could what? Win those who are under the law. Verse 21, to those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. He writes about the Gentiles here, that these guys were never under the law. But God still had them in mind when He died on the cross. Amen? We're grateful for that, right? So Paul, without sinning, without going against God and His Word, he what? He hung out with them in their culture and social settings and ways that they did life so that he could what? Win those who were without law. I sometimes wonder if Paul's audience was sometimes a little bit like us. He's got to repeat things over and over and over again and say it in all sorts of different ways because we can try to find these loopholes. We can try to find a reason or that why we don't need to share Jesus with somebody. He's kind of closing all those. He continues, not just the Jews, not just those under the law, but those Gentiles as well. To the Jews, that was kind of saying like, yeah, them too, right? That neighbor, that pesky neighbor, right? Like Levi. Man, you got to share the gospel with Levi. Sometimes you just... Sorry, bro. Okay. Verse 22, to the weak I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men so that I may be by all means save some. I like how John MacArthur puts this. He says this, within the bounds, make sure you guys hear that, within the bounds of God's word, he would not offend the Jew, the Gentile, or those weak in understanding, not changing scripture or compromising truth. He would condescend in ways that could lead to salvation. I want to make a very clear statement here. You guys tracking with me today? Paul is not suggesting once that we go against the word of God. That we sin in order to reach somebody for Christ. He's not suggesting that we live according to the ways of this world to help someone find Jesus. Yes? You guys with me? Okay. We got to make sure we're on the same page. There have been people, there have been Christians that have used this passage to say, I did what they did. I acted how they acted so I could share Jesus with them. Sharing a personal story with you. In a job that I used to work at, there was a guy that I was witnessing with. There was a guy that I was sharing Jesus with, and I kept inviting him to church for namesake. I don't know if he'll ever listen to this, but Bob is not really his name, but we're going to use Bob. And Bob said to me, Jeff, he lived a little bit different lifestyle than I did. He said, Jeff, I will make a deal with you. I will go to your church with you for a whole month. He goes, you can even pick one of those five Sunday months, right? I'll even do that if you come to the strip club with me once. To the strip club with me once. That really got me. Because I'm sitting there thinking, man, do I need to become a Jew to a Jew? Do I need to become a strip goer to a strip goer? You get what I'm saying? Strip club goer? However you say that. No, you don't do that, right? We don't go against the word of God. We don't go against what God, because I can't walk into a strip club and not lust. Amen, man? Right? You guys with me? It's not something I can do. If you guys can do it, praise God for you, but that's not me, right? So I can't do that. I can't set aside the word of God to do that. Also, this is not permission, church, for us to alter, change, replace, or compromise, or water down the word of God. Amen? We have a statement here at Authentic Life is this. By the grace of God, we will remain faithful to the Word of God. We must never compromise the Word of God. The Bible speaks of a day in which we are, I believe, in now, where people will seek teachers and teachings that teach things that tickle their ear, meaning stuff that they want to hear, meaning they want someone to teach the Bible or another view, another way of teaching, another what they call a truth in a way that allows them to live the way they want to live and think the way they want to think. People sometimes want to leave a bit out here or there or change a few things because the gospel can be offensive. And I want to say this, church. We're to never remove the offense of the gospel. Let me explain that a little bit. The gospel proclaims that people are sinners apart from God in need of His grace. And there are things in every culture, in every context, and in every life that people are going to have to turn away from in order to trust and follow Christ. The Bible can be offensive, especially if we're not living. And that's why Jesus came, so we can't take that out of there. Paul is suggesting this, that we become all things to all men so that we by all means save some. Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Individuals here, people of authentic life as our church, let's be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel. It's not all time to get all patriotic, go America on me. I'm glad that we live in the United States and we have our rights and the people in this room that have fought and served for those rights. Amen? Man, we are grateful for you. But when it comes to the gospel, that comes first. Are you guys tracking with me? All right? We need to be willing to relinquish our rights for the sake of the gospel and also be willing to rearrange our lives for the spread of the gospel. If we are truly want to connect people to Jesus, we need to not let non-eternal things and ways of doing life get in the way. Try being a coffee person to the person that drinks coffee all the time. You drink coffee, I'll hang out with you all the time, man. My wife won't hang out with me after that because I'm kind of twitching, you know. But try to, if you're not a sports person, be a sports person. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying do against God. Paul's speaking against that. We don't do that. But it's okay to hang out with people and do what they do. that you're not compromising your faith on. You guys tracking with me today? You guys good? Okay. David Platt, the president of the International Mission Board and a former pastor, said this: "We willingly commit our lives, families, and church to this mission. And as we do, we wisely contextualize the gospel in this mission." He goes on to say that word "contextualize" is not a word that we use often, but it's a good word to know because it's something we all do as followers of Jesus Christ with the gospel. To contextualize is to take the gospel and to make it as clear as possible in a specific context. You do different things in different contexts in order to make the gospel clear in that context. One of our goals when we came down here was to learn about Sycamore Park and Rita and Vail in this area of Tucson. The church that I came from in Kansas City, I would preach in more dressed up clothes. There's different ways. You get what I'm saying? We do things to without going against the Word of God, without compromising our faith, to contextualize, to share the gospel in a clear context. When we look at chapter 9, the point Paul is making is that in any context that we're in, with whoever we're around, we remove all obstacles to the gospel. That's what Paul's saying here. That is why he didn't take money in Corinth, right, from the church in Corinth, because he believed that taking money in Corinth would be an obstacle to the gospel there. Paul really says, "I do whatever it takes without compromising the Bible or sinning against God." Do we live with that mentality? I'm going to do whatever it takes to share the gospel without compromising the Bible or sinning against God. Verse 12, he says, "I endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ." We must get to know the culture and the people around us. Followers of Jesus, get to know the people that are around you who don't know Christ. Sometimes we can hang out in our little clusters of people that do know Jesus, right? And we don't expand out. Don't isolate yourself from them. Hear me clearly. Don't sin with them. If they're sin, get what I'm saying? But don't isolate yourself. Get to know them, understand them, and serve them by working to remove any and every obstacle that there is to the gospel in their life. I'm not going to ask this question. No, I'm going to ask this question, but I'm going to have you raise your hand. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know your neighbors' names? Do you know about their family? Do you know if they know Jesus? We should. That's our mission field. I want to challenge you this morning, church, is to be willing to lay aside our comforts so that others hear the gospel. Instead of looking at our schedule this week and at our lifestyle as a whole and say, "Man, what is best for Jeff? What is best for you? What is best for me this week?" You guys don't say "what is best for Jeff." That's what I say, okay? So you guys say "what's..." Okay, insert name here, right? What is most comfortable and easiest for me? We can do that a lot, right? Let's look at our schedule and look at our lifestyle and ask this: how can we best make the gospel available in Tucson, in Vail, in Sycamore Park, and throughout the world? I would challenge that a lot of us, and me as well, a lot of times don't live our life that way. Here's some questions for you. Do our current lifestyles allow you to share the gospel? The way you do life right now, does it allow you to share the gospel? If we're honest, sometimes, or maybe all the time, we have to say no. If our lifestyle does not allow us to connect people to Jesus, then we've got to set aside our comforts. And yeah, we should be getting a little uncomfortable right now. What comforts do I have to give up, right? That was funny, people. Come on. It's a good thing to be uncomfortable when we're talking about this. We got to set aside comfort, set aside our rights, set aside our freedoms, and have this whatever it takes within the boundaries of God mentality that Paul had to lead people to Christ, to connect people to Jesus, to share the gospel with them. One of the things I was challenged on when I was studying this week is there was just a commentary that I was reading, and it just asked the question for me: how many people have I led to Christ recently? How many people have I shared the gospel with? But I want to give you guys just a little bit of information. It's not just my job. It's your job and your job and your job. If you know Jesus, it's our job. Amen, church? Right, amen, church? Man, we just share Jesus and we're set aside. Sometimes we've got to set aside our comforts to have this whatever it takes mentality to lead people to Jesus. As we close, we must look to what the Bible says in verse 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but... thanks for that one, Captain Obvious, right? They all run, right? But only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. The last thing this morning is this, church. Let's be willing to run the race together as a church. In Corinth, they hosted the Isthmian, I-S-T-H-M-I-A-N, however you say that. Right? These are the games every 2 years, much like the Olympics. And Paul uses language here that makes sense to them. He uses runners in a race to example what he is saying about their mission as Christians, as a church. He simply points out what is the obvious, right? That's what he's doing. He's talking about these runners. They run in a race. They all run, but only one receives a prize. That's their goal. Runners run for a purpose, for a prize. They work hard. You guys ever hung out with like track runners? Right? Any athletes in general? I mean, you hang out with these athletes, they work really, really hard. They relinquish all sorts of comforts and rights and freedom, and they rearrange their lives to get that prize. And what is their prize? And Paul's making a really good point here. Don't miss this, guys. He's making a really good point. It's a perishable wreath. It's a little green thing they put around your head. You hang on to it for a couple weeks or, you know, my wife does not have a green thumb, so if it's her, it's like 2 days, right? And then it dies. And then they get this little, what are those things called? Medal, right? They get these medals medal. That's pretty hard, wasn't it? So these medals. So how much more? These guys, man, they give up everything. You think about these athletes, they give up everything to train and prepare to run a race to get a wreath and a medal. How much more then should we work? Should we relinquish our rights and should we rearrange our lives and set comforts aside and work together for a reward that will last forever? To have an eternal brother or sister in Christ. If you guys know Jesus, you're stuck with me, man, right? No amens on that one. Okay, so. And then we want to have a life that's on track and that's pleasing to the Lord. Church, let's have a purpose. Let us live a life that shows evidence that we were left here for a reason. So that others would know Jesus. It's worth it. And to be honest with you, if we're not doing it, we're being disobedient. It just is what it is, right? I mean, we got to share the gospel. We got to be willing to relinquish our rights, to rearrange our lives and set our comforts aside and really as a church to do it together so that we can win some for Jesus Christ. If you're in the room this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, man, don't let shyness or don't be ashamed or let anything else stop you from hearing this morning. This gospel that we're talking about, this gospel of Jesus Christ is for you. If this is you, just hear me out on this one. You are a sinner before God, just like I am, just like all of us. And you, like all of us, deserve eternal judgment before God because of our sin. We are infinitely guilty before a holy and just God. But He loves you. And He sent His Son, Jesus, to pay the price for your sins, my sins, all of our sins on the cross. And praise God that He rose from the dead in victory over sin so that you might turn from your sin and yourself and trust in Him as your Savior and Lord. And I want to say this, man, I invite you, I implore you, I urge you, whatever big word that you want to get excited about right there, I beg you, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, man, be saved today. Be saved today. Set aside your hurdles and your worries and your sin and anything else that keeps you from living a life with your Creator. He is ready for you to call out to Him and say, Jesus, save me. Man, don't let that pass. An authentic life church, hear me clearly. We must be a church that is willing to do what God has called us to do. We are here, first and foremost, to lead people to Jesus. We go and make disciples. So we need to take, this is a hard time, but we need to take inventory of our life. Is our life set up in a way, is our lives arranged in a way that we can share Jesus with others? Do we have comforts? Do we have rights and freedoms that are in our way that keeping us from sharing Jesus with other people? It's a really good question to ask yourself. We must be willing to be a church that is willing to connect people to Jesus. Let's pray this morning. God, we love you. And we thank you, God, for the Word of God. We thank you that it's here in black and white. And God, that we can just read it and we can trust you and we can listen to the Holy Spirit that guides us. God, we pray, Lord, that today, if there is anybody in here that does not know Jesus as their Savior, if they've not said, if they could raise their hand and say, I'm a follower of Jesus. God, we pray, Lord, that you would break their heart, knock their door down, whatever language we need to use, God. We pray, Lord, that you would make it known to them that they need you. Let nothing in their life keep them from you. And God, we pray for that this morning. And I pray that our church would pray for those that come to here and that are just in contact with our people, that they would pray for opportunities to share the gospel with people, to share Jesus, share his love with people, to let them know that all this stuff, all this junk in our life, God, man, you died for it. You bore it on the cross for us. So God, we pray, Lord, that if there's anybody in here that does not know you, they would say today, and they can slip their hand up and say, man, I need to talk to you. I need to call out to the name of Jesus for salvation. And Lord, for our church today, help us be a church which is made up of people. Help us be a church that is willing to relinquish our rights and our comforts and rearrange our schedules so that we can live a life where we can share the gospel with people. God, we pray, Lord, that people do not leave this building here today without some sort of change in their life that says, I can do this. I can trust God in this. I can be obedient to God in going out and being fishers of men. Let us not just sit on our bums, God, and not do anything. God, help us get out there and to go. Get out in the ship, in the boat, and paddle out there and go reach some fish and bring them in to be fishers of men for Jesus. God, I pray that our church would be a church that actually lives up to our vision statement, myself included, God, that we'd be a church that connects people to Jesus. Because without connecting people to Jesus, God, we can't grow together and we can't live for Him. God, help us be obedient to you today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. With your eyes closed still, if there's anybody here today that says, Jeff, I do not know Jesus. I have not been saved. I cannot raise my hand and say I'm a follower of Christ. Please raise your hand. Come and find me afterwards. If you're a person in this church today, keep our eyes closed for me for a second. If you're a person in this church today that says, I have to rearrange, I have to set aside comforts, I have to set aside rights so that I will reach people for Jesus. If you'd raise your hand on that one, I am praying that everybody in this room would raise their hand and say, God, help me reach people for Jesus. I see these hands. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be a church that connects people to Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all that agreed said, amen.